morning. Today's reading will be found on John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and on the Red Pew Bibles it can be found on page 766. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen were lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them he had said these things to her.
Thank you. Well, it was good of Rowena to go looking for black jelly beans, wasn't it? 12 shops. She's left me nothing to say, which is the problem, with her jelly bean gospel, Amazing, wasn't it? How to put your husband down while calling him honey. I thought that was amazing, It's good, isn't it? Okay. If she was looking for jelly beans, Mary was looking for a body. Mary in the story wanted to know why the tomb was empty. She made an assumption. The assumption was this, that the body had been stolen. So I'd like somebody, female, to come and sit on this chair. That's all I want you to do. Nothing else. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. Nobody's going to respond, though. I know that. That's okay. There's no prizes at this, but maybe somebody would just like to sit on the chair. Thank you, Debbie. There's always Debbie, isn't there? And I don't say that unkindly. So we've got Mary in place. She's already been to the tomb. You can look that way. You need to look that way. Don't look at them. So she's already been to the tomb. She's already run back and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." There is nothing glorious for Mary about an empty tomb. Nothing at all. Because she thought somebody had stolen the body. Peter and John also come, having met Mary, and they run to the tomb. They look in. They see that the linen has been carefully folded and left there. But there's no body. And because they don't understand the Bible, that Jesus is risen from the dead, they probably leave a bit more confused than when they arrived. John believed, but we're not told what he believed and how much he believed. So there may be many reasons why the tomb might be empty. And none of them in the story to start with are glorious. So let's return to Mary. She returns to the tomb. And here she is. She's now at the tomb. Let's pretend. And she's looking this way because that's where the tomb is. And she hears somebody behind her. It's going to be Jesus. But this is what she says. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will take him away. So there's no sense of glory here. There is only a deep sense of sadness in Mary. Mary's doing two things. She is weeping and she is looking. She is weeping and she is looking. She's weeping over her loss. She has lost her Lord. He was dead as far as she was concerned. She'd placed her life into his hands and he had changed her. Mary followed a man who loved her and made her feel safe. Jesus had been so glorious to follow. It was brilliant while he lasted. But now, at this tomb, Mary is weeping. This is your part and my part in the story. As Mary weeps, she weeps as we weep. We know what it is to cry, don't we? Even us men know what it is to cry, at least on the inside. But why do we cry? Normally we cry because we've lost something. Something precious to us. Something important. Mary is weeping because a glorious truth is missing from her life. And ultimately, my friends, we weep because there is a glorious person missing from our lives. Ultimately, all our crying, for whatever reasons that might be, boil down to one reality. We don't understand why the tomb is empty. In other words, Mary is weeping because she doesn't understand that Jesus is risen from the dead. And when you weep this week over whatever you weep about, or I weep about, ultimately I am saying to myself, Jesus is not risen from the dead. Mary is weeping. Mary is looking at the dead end, the final resting place of her Lord. Death fills her mind. The graveyard is the only place to go. And this now needs to be accepted with bleakness and get on with life now. Many people believe that, don't they? That death is the end. You have to accept it. Life is bleak. Try to make it as fun as possible while you're alive. And yet, when you pass a graveyard in that belief, you have to believe that there is no empty tomb whatsoever, ever in history. All the graveyard in Lincoln at this moment is full of dead bodies. There is no empty grave. Others don't want death to be the end and they want to go to live in heaven forever. But it's all vague sentiment, isn't it? What does it mean? What does it look like? If there is only an empty tomb without a risen Lord, it means nothing. It is only just an empty tomb. Mary is weeping. Mary is looking. I'd like a man or a boy to come and stand behind Mary. All you have to do is stand behind her, please. Somebody, sometime. Oh, Steve, good. Honey, here comes Steve. You don't need a guitar. Well, you can serenade her after if you want. Just behind her, that's all right, Steve. See, what happens in the story next is that you have Mary weeping and looking, but then Jesus comes into the garden. She supposes him to be the gardener, but he comes behind Mary. It's very important. And as she talks to him and thinks he's the gardener, she wants him to say, "Take me to the body." And then he says one word, doesn't he? What does he say? Mary. Changes everything. See, the glory of the empty tomb isn't the empty tomb. The glory of the empty tomb is the risen Lord outside the tomb. Mary will turn around. You can turn around now and look at your husband if you want to. Debbie? Yeah, there you go. So, stop it. Mary has changed everything for her. Historically, Mary saw the Lord. She takes that message back to the disciples. I have seen the Lord. She didn't say, I found his body. I have seen the Lord. Historically, my friends, this is true because somebody saw the risen Lord and reported it. But there was also a spiritual transformation deep within her heart. She cries out to him. She realizes that her grief was over. The absence and loss wasn't true. There he was. The crucified Lord had risen from the dead. The crucified Lord had risen from the dead. Her eternal living Lord. And therefore it was now universal for all followers. Because Jesus would say to Mary, don't cling on to me. It's not going to be the same relationship anymore now. I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to ascend to my God and your God. Universal. The loneliness is over, my friends. A relationship with death is over too, ultimately. A relationship with God that death cannot destroy has been given to us. That's good news, isn't it, today? And she turns and she sees him. But this is where it all gets a bit personal now as I finish. I am finishing. It all gets a bit personal now, doesn't it? She had to turn from looking at an empty tomb to see a risen Lord. So I want to say two things in finishing now. And I want to speak to you personally as I speak to myself. Jesus said, Mary. It's very personal, wasn't he? It was a gentle call, if you like, to turn round and see. And the same call is going to us this morning in this good news message. Jesus is calling you to turn round from looking at yourself and going your own way and doing what you want. And he's calling you to turn round and look at him. You can't see him with your physical eyes, but you can see him in the gospel message that is now being presented. So are you going to turn around today? Are you going to turn around from trusting in yourself and going your own way? And you're going to turn around and in faith trust in Jesus as your Savior? This gets very personal, doesn't it? We can keep it as history. We can keep talking about it. Well, it's a universal message. And it's all very nice about that. But then when it gets right home to us, will you come from life to death? From death to life, spiritually today? Will you understand that your great loss is the risen Lord, and that your great gain this morning could be the risen Lord? And then the weeping is ultimately over, and the dead end is no longer a dead end. Second question. You're a believer this morning. Will you turn around afresh from looking at yourself and see afresh in the gospel a risen Lord? May I ask you a question as a believer, as I ask it of myself? What is the glory of your life? What is the glory of your life today, right now? If you were to ask Mary, she would say, it's Jesus. I've seen the Lord risen from the dead. Nothing can trump that. Nothing. This glorious truth, you see, even for us as believers, needs to be embraced afresh this morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.